Phil of Los Animas County. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Phil, I think we can hear you. And Bill, I heard you. Kevin, Tracy, can you guys hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Yes, I can hear too.
Sounds good.
Hi, Phil.
Hello.
We had a little bit of a computer snafu in our office, and Julie Gammick's jumping on one of our other people's computers, so it's not truly Lindsay Givens. It's actually Julie Gammick, so.
Okay.
So Phil, how many people do you have from your end that we're waiting for? Oh, there's Wade.
We will wait a few more minutes. I'm not sure if Mike and Matt can make it or not, but if not, we'll start without them.
I'm pretty sure Matt can make it. Because this was the first appointment that we had out. But afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
I guess we should do introductions, noting I already know all of you.
Yeah, we were going to kind of go around and do introductions of ourselves and explain our role on the project. So,
hey, you guys are presenting. You roll how you want, Kevin.
We're here trying to be efficient. So when you're ready, we'll do that, but we'll wait.
Waiting on Matt, as usual, sometimes a theme. Yeah, hopefully he gives me a hard time when I'm late too. I'm sure he does. Kevin, your office makes you look busy.
It's a little bit of a mess.
I'm not judging.
So
that's why my office background is blurred, so you can't see that it's messy. Yeah. But no, it just shows how hard you've been working. That's a lot of data you guys are compiling.
Yeah. And we're actually getting ready to paint and recarpet our office. So some stuff's out and kind of getting ready to throw some stuff out. So that's part of it too.
Oh, the purge. It's always cathartic.
It's a cleansing.
Indeed.
Afternoon, everybody.
There he is.
Hey, Matt.
Apologized, did the classic, oh, I've got 3 minutes. I've got time for one more email. And then 3 minutes after that, you're like, oh, it's all right. Anyway, good to see you all, though.
Kevin, I think we're ready. Mike can catch up if he joins us.
Okay. Oh, where'd Randall go? He's running our PowerPoint. Randall, give me 2 seconds. I'm going to switch computers because I am having a computer problem here, too. I'm going to log off and log back on. Just give me 1 second.
Okay.
Hard times at THK.
It's computers. So as soon as he pulls that up, we'll jump right into it and we'll do our introductions. I think we all know all of you, so.
I think so.
I think so. With COVID, though, I haven't seen a number of you very much physically over the last 2 years, but. Sorry for the computer glitch.
Makes you feel any better? I was on a panel a couple of weeks ago, and we were doing this video unveiling of this some agricultural conservation TPL and Colorado Cattlemen have been doing together the past 20 years. And yeah, I had bandwidth issues the whole time. My computer froze. I got dropped off. So yeah, I'm sure it was really fun trying to listen to me talk during that call. So we all take turns, Kevin.
Yeah. No matter how many times you practice and how many years we've been doing this now, there's always something that seems to pop up.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Can you let Randall in? Stage
done. Yes, I'll wake up here again. I was looking at another computer.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's all good.
I can't multitask, but I attempt it.
It's just after lunch. We're all lucky we're not having naps right now.
There he is. Okay.
I'll applaud Phil for being honest and being able to say, I try to multitask, but I can't do it. The rest of us actually think we can do it and we can't.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not as good at it as I used to be. Oh, there's Mike. So Randall, go ahead and pull up our presentation though, okay? Because we need to get started. There we go. Okay. Well, we're going to start with introductions. Again, we're super excited to have this opportunity to meet with you folks today and talk about the Trinidad and Los Angeles County Public Recreation and Impact Study. Do you want to jump to the next slide, Randall? I'm Kevin Shanks. I'm the Director of Planning and Landscape Architecture at THK. I am super excited to present to you what I believe is the team that can absolutely do the best job in this study. I've worked with all of these folks, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves here in a minute, and explain their role on the project. But I will be the project manager for this project. And that makes a lot of sense, being that I'm also the project manager on the Fisher's Peak Master Plan, which right now is scheduled to be completed by March of next year. So we're going to have a good 3 months of overlap so that both plans can influence one another a little bit. Because we've been involved in Fisher's Peak, we'll be able to hit the ground running, and I'll talk a little bit more about that information. And that's really important where we're going to just have this 3 months of overlap. Peter Elsey, you can see on here, is my partner. He will be our market analyst. He's also a real estate appraiser. He will be conducting and leading the economic analysis on this project, looking at the fiscal impacts, looking at the market demand, and he's had a lot of experience working with us on recreation projects like that. We just recently finished up some work for Pagosa Springs, looking at a property there, looking at the highest and best use of several different recreational uses. And then, of course, back when we were working on the South Platte River Greenway through Denver, Peter also helped us pull a bunch of economic information together about kind of the significance and what of the recreational features along the Greenway and how they were impacting the economics and health of the city and county of Denver. So Randall, you wanna go next?
Yeah, so I'm Randall Navarro. I also have been working on the Fisher's Peak State Park Master Plan project in a variety of roles. But my biggest role here at THK, and it will come in and we'll talk about it at the end, is I work on a lot of grants and implementation plans. So I look at strategies to get things actually moved past the planning phase and into implementation. And that goes with public and private partnerships as well as grant funding. I also help out, and CDR will talk more about kind of the public engagement, but I work a lot on the DEI outreach. I have a lot of good connections in the immigrant communities and underserved populations that I try to use as best as possible at the local level. So that's kind of where my involvement will be. Julie, you want to go next?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Julie Gammack, and I'm a senior landscape architect here at THK. I've done a lot of recreation and trails work, both in an urban and rural setting, both in and out of town, which sometimes is different. Currently, I'm working with the city of Trinidad on their transportation study, which really kind of focuses on community connections to locations east and west of I-25, the state parks, the Purgatory River, complete streets. So all of those local and regional pedestrian bicycle facility connections. So I'm really excited to have the opportunity to work with this group. Thank you.
Tracy, you want to go next?
Sure. My name is Tracy Winfrey, and I'm with CDR Associates. And I've had a career in local government, and I was a department director for large departments, both in transportation and in open space land management. And I was really known and really developed as a regional collaborator, and really brought together a number of different partnership efforts in both land management and transportation. And whether that meant joint property purchases or aligning trail connections and together partnering on getting grants to build trails and manage lands across borders. That's the type of expertise that I would bring to this project, the strategic regional partnerships and a deep understanding of what it takes to plan, build, and maintain at a local level. Melissa?
Thanks, Tracy. I have the fortune of working with Tracy at CDR Associates on lots of facilitation and public engagement projects, as well as with the THK and ERO team on the Fisher's Peak master plan. My name is Melissa Beatty. I really bring to this project and to the Fisher's Peak master plan project a process focus. I have a lot of institutional knowledge from engaging with many stakeholders around Fisher's Peak, building those relationships, those connections, and also having that documentation of knowing who the stakeholders are who are really involved. What are their interests and perspectives as part of recreation in Los Animas County and around Trinidad? We also, as part of our work on Fisher's Peak, have focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion. How can we get diverse users, whether that's racial diversity, gender diversity, age diversity, onto our public lands and recreating outdoors? I also want to quickly introduce my colleague, Daniel Estes, who is not here today, but he is really the boots on the ground for our Fisher's Peak project. He knows a lot of you and a lot of the stakeholders by name, by email, is communicating with them on a regular basis, and he would continue to do so through this project.
Bill, you want to go next?
Sure. So, hey guys, I'm Bill Mangle. I'm a natural resource planner with ERO Resources. Over the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of really getting to know, as part of the Fisher's Peak project that I'm on that planning team, getting to know the Trinidad and Los Animas County region, from the Sangres down to the Canyonlands, and really appreciate and grow to love the landscape and the community and how different and special it is from the rest of Colorado. I bring experience with public lands planning and stewardship planning throughout Colorado, as well as regional planning such as this. And so I'm very excited to have the opportunity to help with this project. My specialty is really finding that balance between wildlife and resource conservation and proper land management and recreational development. And every situation is different, but I bring a lot of experience in really kind of looking at both sides of that coin and trying to find that balance. This project that would be backed up by Carrie Tanner, another planner with ERO. She's early in her career, but she brings a some passion and experience on this topic from West Virginia, where she comes from, of helping, you know, developing rural communities, you know, change their outlook through economic development, recreation development. So thank you.
So you guys probably recognize this graphic on the left from our proposal. These are kind of all the elements we think that have to, they're a part of the planning effort to get us to answer this question here on the right. What are the gaps in recreational development that can provide the greatest economic benefit for Los Animas County? We're only going to address five of these very quickly based on things that our group knows, has come to learn and know about the region based on our work for the last 2 years on the Fisher's Peak State Park Master Plan. Go ahead, Randall. Next slide. Okay. May have to minimize your pictures of the faces on the right so you can see the bullets, but we know now what the recreational activities that are going to be accommodated on the state park. We have that list. We also know what's not being accommodated on the state park. One of those examples is off-highway vehicles. Will there be other opportunities for us around Los Animas County to look at those types of opportunities as an example? We know what are some potential existing partnership opportunities. These are all things that right out of the chute, right up front, we know we have these lists. We from all of our work on the master plan. Let me give you some examples of some of these existing partnership opportunities. Some things are opportunities on the park. I think there's this trend for glamping, which is, you know, people camping in fancy tents and, you know, a vendor helps supply that activity. There's potentials for a livery stable. There's potential for recreation guides. Crystal Dreiling, the state park manager, she and I have talked about a number of these vendor opportunities. So we even have a list of those. And then Julie, through the Trinidad Transportation Study, has started to talk a lot about the connectivities and connections to the park, as well as connections between other important activity centers in and around Trinidad and Los Animas County. So we're gonna be able to, we know all this stuff right out of the chute based on all our engagement with the stakeholders and the public. So it'll be a really quick streamlined process to jump right into a lot of these opportunities. Go ahead, Randall. Next slide. There we go. Our engagement plan will build on the past efforts. We have several hundred stakeholders and public individuals that we've spoken with. All of that communication has been documented. Some of it is gone. All of it has been considered as part of the state park. Some of it, though, can't be accommodated on the state park. So we have these lists of things that we can work with in conjunction with the state park, and we have these things that we can now add and look at other locations and check their economic viability through the work that Peter's going to do. Why our team is perfect for this is that it's my understanding that a lot of the public engagement that we've already done legitimately can be used as match for the DOLA grant. So CDR has done a great job of documenting all that input so that we can bring it right into the regional recreation study. We've done a pretty good job dealing with COVID on this project with both virtual meetings as well as on-site meetings that a number of you have participated in. We anticipate that we'll be continuing to use a similar process as we move forward with your project. Randy, you want to talk about underserved populations briefly?
Yeah, so, you know, the great part about this conversation about our DEI outreach is it's something that we've been successful at in a lot of the projects we work on. And I'm not just talking THK, but CDR and ERO as well. I've done it throughout the state and did it before it started to become a requirement on projects. We plan on continuing that. We've obviously done it on a large scale for Fisher's Peak, coordinating with TPL's DI representative, Chandi. She's been great about coordinating us with statewide organizations and then taking what we can do with the locals and wrapping that in. So we're going to continue kind of along that same parallel when it comes to reaching out to these populations, getting them to be included in the conversations, and even maybe some of the decision making on some of the things that may come out of this plan. I want to talk a little bit about economic opportunities. First off, there's been a ton of studies that have been completed recently throughout Los Angeles County and Trinidad area. In the bottom, you'll see some of these graphics here, you know, the Trinidad Bicycle Tourism Vision. That was done by RPM Events, and that was actually a very good study done about trails and especially some areas through Fisher's Peak of what they'd like to see and what kind of events they can handle around those trails. And kind of what came out of that is the map next to that, which was a separate project, but is the gravel trails throughout Los Angeles County and kind of the corridors and loops you can do through there. And again, this all comes down to events that can be planned and maybe making gravel trails one of the key features in Los Angeles County. And then of course with Fisher's Peak, both the Nature Conservancy and TPL have done different kinds of studies on recreation and economic analyses. We bring these up because we're gonna take all of this into consideration. We're also gonna look at any kind of other plans that are going on. You know, the Wormhole Loop Trail, there seems to be some work being done to look at some extensions of that trail system. There was an article that was published just yesterday about Kachara Mountain Park and some of the development they're looking at there. And even though that's in Huerfano County, we're gonna look at it as a regional type destination. And that goes into the second point here is our economic analysis will look for these additional opportunities. And we'll do it by looking at like a full trade area of what the best draws can be and what the travel times are from everywhere from New Mexico up Highway 12 all the way up to Pueblo. So we're really going to look at it from this tourism aspect of how we draw people into the area to maximize some of the economic opportunities through recreation. And then there's the CSU team, which I'm going to have Kevin talk about.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that. Here, you want to jump to the next slide then? So there are many partnerships that already exist, and there's going to be some additional partnerships. One of those additional partnerships that we can look at is partnering with the CSU Regional Economic Development Institute. They recently received an Economic Development Administrative Grant to provide technical support to diversifying Colorado's economic opportunities. So they actually have funding to help us that actually we can demonstrate back to DOLA that we actually brought an additional partner with funding into the project. But what their role would be is, as you know, Randall talked about Kachara and some of the things that may not be in Los Angeles County, they're gonna be looking at a much larger regional sort of thing. And so they have communicated with us that they're more than happy to kind of dovetail with us, provide some information, maybe even work with them to kind of dictate their process and help them understand what they might be able to do from a regional Southern Colorado thing from an analysis standpoint to see how we kind of fit into the whole Southern Colorado kind of deal. Obviously, some of the partnerships that already exist are with Trinidad State and with the Purgatory Watershed Partnerships. There's huge opportunities on this park for not only, you know, physical sorts of connections and partnerships, but again, the park manager at the state park is really interested in education. And so we see opportunities with education programs, not only with Trinidad State, but in our tribal engagement. There are the number of the tribes have expressed an interest in wanting to participate with us regionally, to bring people in for tribal education types of things on the park as well. So we're aware of those types of things. I'm gonna go to the last slide here, Randall. I'm gonna just say something here and then turn it over to you. As far as implementation, everything doesn't have to be about actually constructing trails or recreational infrastructure. It could be as simple as creating some maps. You guys have got some great gravel grinding routes identified. What I have, you know, my wife and I have vacationed in Los Animas County a couple of times, and you have a lot of great historical sites, and just putting together a simple historical map to go hand in hand with your gravel grinding maps to give people directions and information about historic sites like the World War II prisoner of war camp. I know that happens to be on private property, but you've got lots of coal mining history. You've got lots of other remnants of things around that people can see from the roads. And, you know, historical and cultural tourism, as stated by the National Park Service, is one of the biggest draws that they have. People, when they go someplace, they want to learn about the place. So by simply kind of capturing that history of the region, I think you can draw a whole nother group of people in that'll want to visit Los Animas County. I'll let you wrap it up here a little bit, Randall, with this one.
Yeah, so the last bit is, again, we mentioned a couple of projects, wormhole loops, some gravel trails. There's a lot of ideas and a lot of projects that'll want to be implemented. So our economic analysis will kind of look at what's the biggest bang for the buck from an economic standpoint. And then we'll kind of look at how we're going to leverage public and private dollars for additional grant funding. And that comes to all kinds of grants. I know the city of Trinidad has put in for a GOCO grant. If they're successful, we're going to build upon that. If they're not, this plan will get you ready for the next round. And it goes beyond GOCO. There are all kinds of opportunities to fund things that we're going to look for through this project. There's CDOT funding through their transportation alternatives. There's CPW funding for both trails and land and water conservation funds. There's Colorado Health Foundation funding for health equity through recreation. There's going to be some ARPA funds and some infrastructure funds that are coming from the federal government, another EDA grant, just like the CSU team has. We're going to look at all these, and we're going to look at how to leverage them against each other. And we've been extremely successful doing this. We did it on the South Platte River Greenway system, helping leverage dollars to get over $20 million for the projects we identified through that plan. We did it in Clear Creek County with the City of Idaho Springs. We got them almost $4 million worth of planning, design, and construction money for $25,000 out of their general fund because of the way that we leverage grants against each other, from CDOT to GOCO to CPW. We're doing it right now in Fountain Creek, and we're already trying to do it with this project by incorporating the CSU team and leveraging their funds against this DOLA grant. So there's lots of opportunities we're going to look at and that we've been successful doing on other projects.
Thanks. Well, that wraps up our presentation. And again, we're happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Economic impacts. I read through your guys' strategies, et cetera, but not to get down into the weeds with, but at a high level, how do you actually go about doing that? I realize you had mentioned within the strategies, tourism, and I guess that's the one I would be most interested in. Vehicle counts, tourism counts, and then how do you quantify that down to how that's going to impact economically the county and the city, both positive and negative?
So, Randall, do you want to cover that one?
Yeah, absolutely. And Julie, feel free to pipe in too, because you were firsthand on this in Pagosa Springs. But you know, Phil, we did this in Pagosa Springs, and we just wrapped that project up a few months ago. But basically, they had a parcel that they wanted to develop, and no different than some things we may identify as part of this project. And they didn't know how they wanted to develop it. And it wasn't just recreation. They were looking at affordable housing, even, which is obviously something that's come up in Los Animas County as well. So we did an analysis called a highest and best use. So a lot of the economic studies you've seen have done some demographics. They've done some research on growth models and things, and that's about as far as they go. Highest and best use goes even further, though. It dives down into what the visitorship might be, depending on what you're proposing for there. So we looked at RV parks. We looked at a recreational ball fields. We looked at a recreation center. We looked at affordable housing. And we dove into what the financial impacts would be, and both positive and negative, what it would cost to develop something like that, how long it would take you to pay that off with your estimated usage and visitorship, and gave Pagosa Springs options on how that would be developed. that's no different than what we do for Los Angeles County when we look at these recreation aspects. Is if you know you want recreation on something, we can take a look at what kinds of recreation would bring in what kind of dollars and how much it would cost to feasibly implement it and how long it would take to pay that off before you started seeing some true positive economic impacts. And that goes right into the funding plan and everything else. And it's not just grant funding that our economic analysis looks at. It also is the public funding, you know, whether it be bonds, whether it be some kind of taxes that you may want to look at, an open space tax. We can look at all kinds of different things, but that's why our economic feasibility is different. It goes into the details of specific sites and specific usages rather than just kind of a broad stroke of what recreation can bring to the economy.
Well, and I think the other part of that, Phil, is the answer to your question is, you know, some of the criteria we use and is some of the national trend information about usage of similar facilities, not only within the state of Colorado, but other places around the country. Part of the study that was already done by TPL looked at case studies to understand when you build these certain kinds of facilities, recreation facilities, how they're actually being used. So I think to give you a little bit more of the answer to the question, it's national trends by looking at case studies. So we already have some of that information, and I think we'll look for more.
Okay, thank you.
This is Mike, and I've got a slow internet connection, so hopefully you can hear me. Just wondering, I know we've done a lot of studies and you've all been part of a lot of them. How do you feel like the outreach is going to be on this one, or do you feel like you have enough information? What will you do to reach more people with this study as opposed to the others? And then with that said, what kind of deliverables would we expect from this?
Yeah, Mike, that's a great question. I'm going to hand it over to CDR in a minute here. But I will say that, no, we're anticipating even a broader, kind of outreach within the county and adding to what we've already started. I can say that. But I'm going to give it over to either Tracy or Melissa, whichever one of you wants to pick up on that question. But no, I don't see anything that we've done so far, Mike, as eliminating anything that we have to do. It's just information that will feed into this process that will build on what we've already done. So with that, Tracy or Melissa, I'm gonna give it to you guys since it's you guys heading that effort up.
I can jump in, and Tracy, feel free to add anything. You know, I think that I think Kevin's right. So it's really about building on what we know, but then also expanding on that conversation. So we know that Fisher's Peak can't be everything to everyone. And so we've gathered a lot of input and a lot of interest around what the recreation interests are specifically on Fisher's Peak. But we won't be able to have all of those recreation interests. And so how can we expand the conversation for the county and for the city of Trinidad to talk more broadly about how do we make the county and the city a recreation hub and use Fisher's Peak as one asset and all the other recreation resources as additional assets. And so we've talked about, for example, potentially having with some of this overlap between the projects, potentially having a joint public meeting where we transition from talking about Fisher's Peak to talking about something more broadly. So we will continue that outreach and that engagement and we'll continue to do to help people understand the difference between these projects and also where they overlap and where the synergies are. And so I absolutely agree with Kevin. I think it's both and. It's considering what we have heard and also moving to a broader phase and communicating that with people and continuing to get that input. So, and you asked a little bit about deliverables as well, at least from the engagement side. You know, the way that our process works is we often create an engagement plan in collaboration with our partners. So with the county, the city, TPL and TNC, an engagement plan that we make sure that we're all on the same page of, okay, what kinds of questions are we asking and when, and how is that input used in our planning process? And then subsequently, if we have surveys or if we have focus group discussions, all of those have reports and things associated with them, but really ultimately working towards an informational deliverable of how input is used in the planning process and how that input has been used to make decisions and to provide that background information. So Kevin, I'll pass it back to you, see if you have any more on the deliverable piece from a broader perspective.
Yeah, actually, I do. The projects that Randall talked to you about where we helped raise money, it really, the public, the outreach part really is opportunistic. We have to have additional outreach because we're looking for opportunities for public-private partnerships. And I can tell you that why some of those projects advanced so quickly was in a public meeting or in a stakeholder meeting, for example, on the South Platte River Greenway. In speaking with one of the property owners, we became aware that there was money sitting out there for some hazardous waste cleanup on a particular site that they couldn't figure out how to use it. And with the plan that we were doing, we were able to spin it into this project. So you never know what opportunities are out there unless you engage with people. So one of the products and deliverables is very much this outreach to look for opportunities. And I do know, having spent a lot of time in Trinidad, there's a lot of people thinking about campgrounds. There's people thinking about pump tracks in the private sector. So there may be some opportunities, Mike, that will float out in those conversations. I'm sure there will be, because just having lunch and dinner in Trinidad and people find out who we are, they've started telling us about things that they're thinking about doing. So I'm already aware of a couple of folks that have some plans in the work.
Yeah, and if I can jump in just real quick, Mike, the last couple of things is, I mentioned some of the projects we're aware of, expansion to the wormhole loop trail. We know that the gravel people are looking at some kind of events. We know about the transportation study and some of the connections they're looking at. I mean, we know about some of the stuff going on along the Vision Project along the Purgatory River. The problem is all these projects we need to figure out how to maximize them and where the priorities are, because everyone's going to be looking at kind of some of the same pots. You need to figure out how to bring them in and leverage them against each other and how they work together. And then the last part about the public outreach is, not only do we think it's the right thing for all the reasons Melissa and Kevin said, when it does come down to grants, we do need to go through this process because we need some public buy-in. The grant foundations need to hear what the public says, and it needs public backing if you really want to have a good chance at some of these, especially larger grants.
Thank you.
I'm not chock full of questions, honestly, but this conversation has made me sort of wonder something, since you all have been so much more closely engaged in a lot of the other things going on. Would you anticipate that there have been any unintentional barriers or expectations created as a part of the planning process and implementation process around Fisher's Peak? Do you have any sense of whether or not there will, this is related but a separate project? Do you think there are any sort of expectations or ideas that will need to be undone that are already out there to kind of to make sure that they don't impact this? And if that didn't make any sense, feel free to tell me.
Matt, let me try to answer that. I'm not sure I quite got all of it. There are expectations. I mean, everybody looks at Fisher's Peak State Park and says it's over 19,000 acres. Man, there must be room for a little, for something for everybody. And I'd say there is room for a lot of everybody's, but maybe not everybody. So I do think the off-highway vehicle thing is something that there's some level of expectation for that we're probably not going to be able to accommodate. While I think we're looking at, over 13 miles of mountain bike downhill only, and then some shared multi-use trails that would put the mountain bikers to ride almost 60 miles of trail. The reality might be is if Los Angeles County is really committed to being a mountain bike destination, maybe there needs to be some additional mountain bike trails locations identified as a part of this study. So I know that's kind of some of the gaps that I guess we're saying might be out there to really fulfill some of the things that we've heard from stakeholders that they'd like to see happen in Los Angeles County. Now, I don't know if that answered your question or not, but that's, did I get it or am I missing? Did I miss?
No, I think it sort of goes to that right way. So it's getting to sort of the underlying sort of questions here is that there is a lot of belief and expectation based on what's already happened that may not necessarily be compatible. And how do we, how are we going to address that through this? And okay. So I do think, though, I think, honestly, I think your examples answered the question, even though the question wasn't really asked very well.
No, so there's one other one that I would like to address, and that would be kind of we've heard about the epic ride from Raton Pass down to Trinidad. Okay, so can it happen exactly like the way people have think about it, like at Vail Pass or some of the stuff over in Mesa County? No, it's going to have to be something more unique. So I think because of the way the terrain works, and I know a number of you were in our presentation on the state park, and you understand the valleys and the ridge lines, and it's hard to do a trail from Raton Pass down to Trinidad on the very west side of the park because of this ridge and valley thing we got going on. But the same kind of concept could happen from New Mexico, from Sugarite State Park. I could see very easily people staying in Trinidad and being shuttled to Sugarite State Park. And potentially with that connection to New Mexico, you could ride from Sugarite all the way through both parks and down into Trinidad. You'd have some kind of route options that would allow for a multi-day trip or a single day trip. So my point to that is that I think that a lot of the things that people have brought up can be accommodated, but they may have to be accommodated in a slightly different way, and they may not be entirely accommodated on Fisher's Peak State Park.
Good, thanks.
Kevin, as a follow-up question to that, one of the things that's really important on our end, I know none of this is a surprise to your team, but we still got to go through the questions, is that we really are looking for actionable items. As everybody knows, we don't want a plan that's just going to sit on a shelf and folks can check a box. We want something that comes up with, here are the specific things you need to be doing to hit the ground running and really address the infrastructure needs of Trinidad and Los Angeles County, whether it's physical infrastructure or human infrastructure. So we can really take advantage of the public funding, opportunities that are out there. I'm just curious, with all your work that you've been doing on Fisher's Peak State Park, I know much of that ends at the park boundary, but are you all finding that, already that you've got a fair number of, that you should have a fair number of opportunities out of the gate to get some implementable things? Because I think we all know that the time to secure public funding, especially at the federal level, is probably now. So being able to hit the ground running on getting the funding for implementation is key. So I'm just curious what your all's thoughts are, at this point in terms of strategies, things like that, to help us do that as quickly as we can.
Yeah, I mean, you've probably heard me say this before, Wade. You know, yeah, we do planning, but we only do planning because we want to get stuff built. Okay, that's our focus here at THK. It's ERO's focus as well too. I mean, we're all planning firms, but our firms are really set up to get stuff built. So the answer to your question is there are projects that are starting to surface outside the boundaries of Fisher's Peak State Park. Probably the one that jumps to the forefront in my mind potentially is the actual connection to the state park along Santa Fe and up the frontage road. You know, we've been in conversations with CDOT about exit 11, and they have accommodated us by putting in significant pedestrian improvements within the exit 11 to get through that interchange and through the roundabouts. One of the simplest plans there is to leverage the money that CDOT's using on those improvements and go to GOCO or somebody else and get a grant to start building the trail along Santa Fe or the frontage road. So it's not a direct project with Fisher's Peak, but since we have to think about how we're accessing the park a little bit in order to identify our main entry, those conversations, and again, back to Mike's question, by having those conversations with CDOT, it's an opportunity that came up. So that's an example. Randall, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, or Bill, maybe you may have something too.
You know, I've been in contact with Julie, our team's been in contact with Julie Newton with the Purgatory Watershed Partnership. Really excited about what they have proposed there. Again, whether it gets funded this round or not, I think there's some real opportunities along the Purgatory, not just in the city of Trinidad, but along the larger river corridor. I already talked about the Wormhole Loop Trail. Obviously, Tony Boone's on our team, Fisher's Peak. He's been working on that. You know, they'd like to explore additional trails and trailheads through Simpson's Rest, which is publicly owned right now, which may not be a bad idea. Then there's an opportunity we haven't even really talked about at a regional level, but THK has been working on it up north between Colorado Springs and Pueblo. And that's the Front Range Trail that goes all the way down from Wyoming to New Mexico. So looking at how that connection comes in through Los Animas County, there is no shortage of projects outside of Fisher's Peak that we are excited to start rolling into this conversation and figuring out, again, what's the biggest bang for the buck, what the implementation strategies can be. Because instead of going for piecemeal funding and saying, well, let's go get $300,000 to do this or $200,000 to do that, and having Los Animas County having to come up with 20% for every single grant, if we can find some larger projects that we can group together and leverage funding off each other, it just makes more sense and you get a bigger bang for your buck. Land and Water Conservation Funds up their amount to $1.25 million that you could ask for this last year. But it's a one-to-one match. So you also have to come up with $1.25 million in funding. And that's easily doable if you lump these projects together and go for multiple sources. If you go for GOCO and Colorado Health Foundation and get 1.25, then you can go get that other 1.25 from Land and Water Conservation. Now you have a $2.5 million budget to get projects done instead of trying to piecemeal it together.
Bill, you got anything else you want to add?
Well, yeah, just briefly is that, I mean, I think we could off the cuff brainstorm 20 projects that we have either thought about ourselves or has come up in our process that may or may not be a fit within the boundaries of Fisher's Peak State Park. But from the get-go with the state park planning, we've been talking about this sort of regional complex for recreation where, you know, Fisher's Peak State Park is a amazing place and will be an amazing recreation destination, but how does it fit into the 4-day weekend for vacationers? Or, you know, where can we accommodate something different? And so that's been our mindset from the get-go. And so, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
I'm not surprised by the thorough answers, guys. And, you know, I can only speak for me and maybe Matt a little bit, but we've just been working with you guys so long. Like, there aren't a lot of questions for me to ask you, which is a good thing. but I don't have anything else. I mean, Phil, Matt, no, Mike, everybody.
I don't know.
I'm good.
I'd ask if we're about to end this meeting, I'd ask that Wade and Mike and Matt all stay on the line once everyone else leaves for a brief discussion.
Yeah, well, we certainly appreciate the opportunity, and I'm assuming that you guys are going to be making a decision fairly quickly, because I think it would be really good for these two projects, your project and the Fisher's Pete State Park, to overlap as much as they possibly could, so that they can influence each other a bit, because there are definitely opportunities to do so and interconnect those a little bit better, kind of like what Bill had mentioned. So with that, thank you guys, unless there's any other questions.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I will send over this presentation too, one for your records, but two, so you can reference it if you need to discuss it afterwards. So I'll send it as soon as we hang up here.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks guys. I'll say we're excited, and this feels like a natural progression of the work we've been doing.
Absolutely.
Good point.
Okay. Appreciate you all getting the team together to talk to us again.
Anytime, Matt.
Indeed. Thank you, guys.
Pleasure.
Good to see
Thanks
you
Thanks so
all.
Much, everyone. Have a wonderful Bye. Weekend.
Yep.
All right.
You too.
See
Take
you.
Care.
Bye.
Bye.
And then there were four.
Has anybody's opinions changed?
No.
I was glad that we actually had the other two conversations. It's good to know they're out there. The New Mexico side, they were better than I thought they were going to be. But essentially they weren't better than THK, and THK doesn't have THK doesn't have a learning curve.
No.
THK is going, well, honestly, THK is already going. They're going even more tomorrow.
Yeah. No, well said, Matt. I mean, I'd say that I was impressed, but more impressed by the other two firms than I thought I would be. Yeah. I thought Groundwork, if you had the absence of if THK hadn't been doing the master plan, I don't know. They were very impressive. And I liked their approach in particular of really focusing on, we need to make sure that this works for the people who live in Trinidad and Los Animas County before we focus on tourists. We can't have tourists changing the nature of this community and what people want to live. Like, I really was impressed by a firm that hadn't been working in the area for 2 years to know that. MIG, I thought, did well, but honestly, one of the things that bothered me, and I think don't speak for Matt, but I think it bothered him too, is it struck me that they were really pitching TPL and TNC. And
yeah.
I mean, they were bringing up stuff that I can tell you, that the mothership, where I work, would have loved all that stuff. But Matt and I are sitting there thinking, I'm like, that's not how you pitch Southeast Colorado. That's not how you pitch a rural community that isn't a national or international conservation group, thinking about this stuff. And that's, it bothered me a bit that they didn't seem, it came across to me like they thought they needed to pitch Matt and I. I'm like, no, we're working with the city and the county. The city and the county are in the lead. You need to make them happy, then we'll be happy. So, it doesn't change my thinking, but I just wanted to say it bothered me that it felt like they weren't really pitching who's actually in charge here.
Yeah, and after listening to THK, I was impressed too with, they're already looking at other ways to draw, not necessarily tourists to the park, but I like the idea of mapping the historical places and showing those
yep.
on a map, so that people who are interested, older people like me who can't get up and down a mountain, can drive our vehicle out to this historic place, take a look at signs or anything else and see what happened here. I like that idea. And talking about the wormhole projects that the city has going on. So, as you guys have alluded to all along, they're very familiar with Trinidad and Los Animas County. So,
yeah. And that's, Mike, are you, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm with you all. I was surprised in, about the other two. I thought, wow, they really didn't put forth the effort to do a good proposal, but man, they definitely interviewed well. THK is part of all the studies that we've been doing. So I think they are plugged in. They know the community. They know already all the funding mechanisms out there and where we're at. They knew about our push for the GOCO grant and the Greenway, the river visioning. They are part of a traffic study. It just seems like it would be silly to pick somebody else to come in and try and fit in all those other plans we have going. And they put forth the effort to interview well. You know, they could have mailed it in thinking they had it, but they didn't. They brought their team. So I think THK is, that's still my choice.
Yeah, but Mike, that all really resonates with me. I've got one little sort of not phoning it in anecdote kind of element that they didn't really push on too hard. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is they are involved in all of these things, but you know, and they didn't sort of need to sort of push this, but they're involved in a lot of things. But I think that's also a pretty good, you know, a lot of times interviews are sort of a roll of the dice because somebody's working really hard to impress you for half an hour to 45 minutes. And then you find out in real life they don't deliver. And I feel like we've all had the opportunity to see that, you know, none of us are perfect, I'm sure, but you know, basically they've been delivering along the road with all the things they've been involved in. In my anecdote there is, you know, all the stuff that the degree that CDOT has become engaged sort of directly with the master planning process and how that's now translated to all of the revisions that are going on Exit 11, et cetera. I happen to be with CPW and THK on site when CDOT came up in a sort of a, you know, half joking, hey, but somebody ought to be talking to, and CPW, you know, to their credit, everybody's been overloaded there as well, but they were like, oh my God, we can't, that's too complex. We can't sort of bring that in now. We've got us from zero in. It was THK that heard that, was like, because we had heard that there was, we'd heard sort of the rumblings about CDOT getting ramped up on the I-25 corridor planning. So THK, they don't trumpet this a whole lot, but I was standing there and watched it happen. THK is the one that picked that up, went back and on their own time and own dime, called CDOT, was like, you need to be involved in this project. And basically what we're seeing right now with that integration for access and all the hopefully successful improvements to traffic flow and access and capacity 11 that is now being built around the park, That was THK. You know, they could have trumpeted it more than they did, but yeah, they're bringing stuff to the table. So I agree with you.
And I just got nothing to say that hasn't already been said. I'll just say it in a different way, and that's a waste of everybody's time. We should not hire anyone other than THK. I mean, if anything, I kind of like that they didn't need to really do a pitch because we all kind of knew what they're already doing. And then it was impressive. So it could just be more of, what do you want to do on top of what's going on? I mean, I think when you factor in, they don't need to get up to speed at all. Heck, they could probably bring all of us up to speed on things we're not even aware of. To me, it's a no-brainer. Okay. And they're the only truly Colorado-based firm. And I like that too. I mean, I respected MIG for only mentioning their Colorado offices, but we're like, yeah, you're based in the Pacific Northwest.
All right. Well, thanks.
I got one last question. Mm. One last question, Matt. That stocking back there, is that yours? And is it going to have a lump of coal in it on the mantle?
Trying to tell. Oh no, that's one of the kids. That was not mine. So they will be showered with unnecessary luxuries, I'm sure.
Hey, Mike, that was hilarious. And I'm also going to tip my proverbial hat of that. I think it was in the first interview. I think you asked like the best question out of all of us. And just the way you approached it, it was just awesome because you kind of, you're acting kind of folksy, like, yeah, you know, this is pretty easy. And then when you're finished answering it, asking it, it's like, that's a really good question, Mike. You put him on the spot, but you're real gentle about it. We were impressed by that.
Tell me you won't be useless, basically, was the question.
I've got one last one. I'll make a recommendation to the commissioners this afternoon, that being for reentering the services with THK. What's the next step then? Contact them again and start negotiating fees and contract?
Yeah, I'd say that would be it, is that you tell them that, you know, you notify them that they've been selected. And now the next key is, you know, getting their fee schedule put together, you know, seeing what, you know, what their overall budget, you know, what the numbers are. You know, they should, I mean, I think they should know that, you know, we have $300,000, but, you know, Kevin also knows that if we have money left over, that can be used to help for implementation. You know, and he's, I think if you told him, Phil, we want to spend all of it, he'll figure out how to spend all of it. But you told him we want to retain 50 grand, he'll figure out how to retain 50 grand.
That is spoken from experience. So yeah, and matter of fact, on that, Phil, as well, just so you know, I've had it on the board the whole time as well, but I know that the grant agreement is something that still I owe you there at the county, and this is a nice thing. We'll match it up now that we've made sort of a choice. We'll match it up with the timeline for getting it in signed up with THK, so county knows you've got the grant agreement in place.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you, everyone.
Great. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, all. Take care.
Have a good weekend.